Well, Father God, Lord, we praise you and we thank you that you are a God worth praising, Lord, that you did something we couldn't. And Lord, that's what we're just now proclaiming, that we want to speak your praises. We want to tell the world about Jesus. God, I pray that as we come this morning and we open our hearts and we just share what you revealed to us, what you showed us, God, what you led us to, that it would bring you glory. God, that this would all be about you. We love you. It's your name we pray. Amen. Not to sound like Bill here, but I really think this year was the best year ever. I know he says that a lot, but it was such an awesome time this year's winter retreat. I sit here thinking, oftentimes you hear about retreats like that or things, and people come and they just praise the emotional high. It was like, man, it was a mountaintop experience. And I didn't really see that this year. It was cool because I believe what makes those things kind of those highs is a weekend focused on reading scripture, on praising God, on just Christ-centered fellowship and conversations. And I believe we have a group here that's doing that on the regular. So when we go on a weekend like this, it's an encouragement for sure, but it's not just this emotional mountaintop. It's just a continuing step in their faith. So we're going to open it up here to share, and I'm going to let you guys collect your thoughts. Well, I just share this year's topic was the armor of God found in Ephesians. And it was just really cool to go back through this and just look at the pieces of armor that we put on. But the neatest thing is not that we're equipping ourselves for battles. I think often as believers, we feel like we have the responsibility to fight. And we have the responsibility to be prepared. And what that preparation is through prayer, is through leaning into the power of God. That's what that scripture starts out saying, that our battle's not against flesh and blood, which we attempt to fight, but it's really against the principalities of things set in the heavens that we're not aware of, that we can't even see, that we're not even really equipped to fight against, but God is. So I'm going to open it up and let you guys share. Let me give the details too. Like this year we had 40 students and about 25 leaders go. Like, that's an awesome ratio. Like, I want to give our leaders, if you guys would just stand up, and our kitchen crew, I would love to give you guys a round of applause and some praise. Things like this would not be possible. So, without you guys. So I'm going to just open it up and let you guys just kind of share what God showed you or what he revealed to you through this weekend so that we could all be encouraged by that. Who wants to be the brave soul to kick us off? All right, Bailey, thank you.
Okay, I'm ready. I've been thinking about this all week. So one of my biggest takeaways, I think, from the retreat was actually a quote. And it was that Satan doesn't have to destroy us, he just has to distract us. And I've just been thinking about how distracted I am in my life, just starting college and moving out of the youth, and there's just a lot of things going out in the world that I wasn't even aware of. But it can all just be really distracting, but I just, being aware of my distractions and just learning how to fight those every day, because it is a battle, but just knowing that I'm equipped for it, it's just been life-changing for me. And another takeaway that I had was something that we did last year at retreat, which was that we write notes of encouragement to one another, and we have little mailboxes, and we just write a note, and we put it in someone's little mailbox. But I was just, I was reading through my notes that I got, and it was some of the most encouraging things that I've ever read, heard in my entire life. And it just made me want to encourage other people the way I felt encouraged. And I've been trying to carry that with me just throughout this week. Just, I don't know, expressing the way that people have touched me and just the way that I see God working through them in my life. So those are two big things that I learned.
Awesome. Before you sit down, Bailey was one of the first ones. She graduated last year, and last year was your first winter retreat, and it was awesome to see her as a senior being so intentional on having a conversation. I just wanted to ask you guys, how many of you had like a personal conversation with Bailey this weekend? If you like, raise your hand. Like, That's pretty impressive. Like, she came, and to be distracted and be starting college, how many of you guys can remember that busyness in that time of life to come and say, I want to go and I want to serve and I want to be intentional about serving this weekend, and you did. So thank you for sharing. Thank you for giving us your weekend. You can sit, sorry. Who's next? All right, Jacob.
So, is Aubrey Knox here? I didn't see her. Okay.
Way to call her out.
Sorry. Well, she was in my group this year, and actually, one thing specifically that she says what stuck out to me most, and so we had in our groups, there was a question of what's something in the Bible that is really easy for you to believe, and what's something in the Bible that's really hard for you to believe. And I was thinking on a real surface level when I looked at that question, I was thinking, I don't know, like pillar of salt, like, you know, stuff like that, where it's just kind of like, I've never seen that in life. I mean, so it's, you know, you kind of have a hard time wrapping your mind around something like that. And her answer was what struck me the most. She said, the hardest thing for me to believe is the fact that everything I've done and everything I will do, Jesus still forgives me despite that. And I was like, man, that's like the best, that's the best answer I could have even thought of. I was kind of speechless when she said it, because I was like, I got nothing compared to that, you know? And it's something that I said on Sunday night when we had our share time, was just how, you know, we're supposed to be the leaders, right? But these kids are leading us just as much as we are them, and they don't even realize it a lot of the time. It's just amazing, like, some of the things that they can think, some of the things they say, and just how God works through them when they allow his peace to enter their heart. And it was just so amazing to have that. So that's something that really stuck out to me.
Awesome. Thank you, Jacob. I believe that's probably everybody's testimony in here, that when you step out in faith to go serve God, you usually end up getting more than you feel like you give. And that's so true, that wherever we are in life, we're really oftentimes on an equal plane, all seeking God and needing to hear from him. So thank you. Brad, you look a little uncomfortable. Is that just because you're old, or is that you want to share? I couldn't tell.
So this was my rookie year at the winter retreat. How many of you were first timers?
Raise them high.
Okay, so a few. Really, this was your first time? Well, it was shocking to me when Kathy Petty shared with me is that this was her 18th year, and I realized I've got a long way to go. I don't know if I'll make it. Buffy and I have now been at this church for almost 2 years. And when we first came here, the differentiator, as we were looking for our new place, was the youth ministry as we saw it. And I want to tell you, it's not only truly amazing on Wednesday nights, but as I had a chance to spend time at this winter retreat, it's truly amazing up close and personal. So many of you, you adults, and Laura, I don't think you're up here, but you've been responsible for delivering this harvest of kids for us to steward, to become more like Jesus. And as Bailey and I had a chance to work together, thank you for giving me Bailey. Yeah. I was blessed with that. A chance to work with these kids like that was fabulous. And I will tell you, you have a serious crop of kids that love Jesus right here, and adults. And I hope I can make year two. So it was a wonderful experience.
Thank you. We do this every Sunday night, too, on Winter Retreat. It's awesome. We have a share time where we just kind of reflect on what God showed us through the weekend. And it takes us a little while to get going, but we don't have that luxury today. So, yes, Allison.
I was thinking about retreat and, you know, what I got out of it. And the first thing I think about was something that actually happened before retreat, but it plays into it. I have the opportunity to apply to go and work at a Christian camp this summer, and I had a phone interview with one of the people working there, and they asked me, they said, why do you think that Christian retreats are so important? And oh my gosh, I'm shaking right now. I'm not even that nervous. But, and, you know, I thought about winter retreat because this was like my, I don't know, fifth year going, I don't know. And I was just thinking to myself, and I said, it's a piece of the kingdom of heaven. And I believe that. And going to retreat a few days later really, I mean, it really was, because you're praising God with your family of believers. And that's what I think heaven's going to be like. And, you know, I don't think I heard anybody say anything bad about anybody else in this retreat. And just like Brad was saying, like, we have such, like, an amazing youth group right now. And like, just people that, you know, don't have anything in common come together and encourage each other. And, you know, in the mornings and the nights, we worship God. And I just feel that. I feel like the presence of God in that room, and that just really stuck out to me. So.
Yeah. I know what you meant by that. On the worldly level, there's not a whole lot of commonality up here. But on the spiritual level, that's exactly what the commonality is. That's what we have in common, is that we're seeking the same God. So, yeah, thank you.
So I agree with Jonathan that this did feel like the best retreat ever. And I think what I see, and I've been, gosh, maybe my ninth retreat or so, or eighth, but it doesn't matter. You know, what I've seen and having seen most of these kids grow up in our youth group is just how much they are willing to, especially in my small group, how much they're willing to sit and wrestle with the scriptures and discern their meaning in a deep way. And really, our topic was a hard one. There's the sort of the children's version of the armor of God, and you know, Jonathan showed a cute little cartoon, you know, round-faced boy with his bright yellow helmet of salvation. But what we learned, and what I feel like the kids, the students, really took to heart, was that we're in a battle always. When things are seemingly going great and we don't think we're being attacked, the battle is always going on in a spiritual realm, and it's just a matter of how in tune we are to it. And we have to put on the armor, and we have to fight, because if we're not, you know, fighting with the word of God, with the belt of truth, that we're losing ground on the battlefield. And I think I just saw it resonate. I saw it seep in, and I saw so many students this weekend really wrestling with that difficult truth and wanting to walk in it. And I think I was just very encouraged leaving retreat with how much I believe that these students' lives really, they say, oh, it was life-changing, and it's fun to say that, you know, when you've left a fantastic retreat and you've had a lot of fun, but I do believe the word of God is life-changing, and that it penetrated this weekend.
Sure. Thank you. For you guys that don't know about our winter retreat, let me just give you a little glimpse of our format. We get there late Friday night. We have worship. We have a small group time where we go and we get to know our small group, but we get straight into the word. And we had a lesson this year, and then went straight to small groups. Go to bed late, get up early the next morning, have breakfast, and then we spend an hour in devotions. We just spend an hour individually with students, getting alone with God in the word. And then we come together, and for an hour we worship, and I'll teach a lesson, and then we go to another hour of small groups of taking those scriptures and just dwelling on them. And then we have lunch, and then we have about 4 hours of, not one, not two, not three, but that was weak, guys. Four hours of free time. That's a camp reference there. But then we get right back into it. We go back to worship and teaching and small groups. And what's awesome to see what these guys do in the free times, and the ones that actually get up before 8 o'clock in the morning, they're in there writing notes of encouragement to each other, or they're in there studying scripture on their own. And it's just so encouraging to see, first of all, students that are willing to take a weekend and just go spend immersed in the word. And then for you guys as parents to see that as an investment, as a wise investment in this, send your children. And even, let me speak to some of you guys that wish to remain anonymous out here, to pay for someone else's kid to go. That's a huge blessing for you guys to invest in that way. I appreciate all of you guys in that. Anyone else? Yeah. Cash, coming your way next.
Originally, after Winter Retreat, I didn't really think that I really got much out of it, and God just kind of humbled me a bit. I left Sunday night because I had school on Monday morning, and I kind of struggled with depression, I just woke up Monday morning just feeling kind of heavy and burdened by a conversation I had with someone and just how I reacted and how I responded. I drove to school and I was just feeling kind of heavy about that. And I was about to go into class and I was sitting in my car and I didn't have time in the morning to read my Bible. I pull up the Bible app and just read the verse of the day. And it's Hebrews 12:14, and it says, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." And that just kind of hit me. I was like, God, you're just humbling me today. Because I just didn't feel like I was living in peace with this person. I went and apologized about it and about how I reacted, because I wasn't, showing the love of Christ in the way I reacted. And as I said, I originally, kind of went on a winter retreat not thinking I really got much out of it, or that God really worked, I guess, in me. And I don't know, God just kind of showed me, he prepared me for that battle. As we talked about equipping ourselves with the armor of God, he prepared me with that battle. I had the tools to turn to truth and to use that to fight that. So.
Yeah, awesome, thank you.
Every year, Winter Retreat is definitely a spiritual recharge for all of us. And I was in Miss Aaron and Asa's small group, and something that Asa said really, really stuck out to me. He said that when we come to Winter Retreat and when we're seeking things to get for ourselves is actually selfish. And I was thinking that when I go to Winter Retreat, I'm seeking answers to questions, and I realize that going to Winter Retreat is really about worshiping God and trying to grow in our relationship with Him even more, and just seeking God in general. And something that God really told me and spoke to me last weekend was about the spiritual battles that we go through every day, and that God has already won that, and that we're fighting in victory. And that's awesome, because it just makes me think about, for everybody who's struggling with temptation, depression, anxiety, and all those things, is that God has already conquered all of that, and that we need to be realizing that, and that God is just, he's won the battle, he's defeated the world, and that's just, it's a really good thought. So,
awesome.
So Miss Erin and Miss Lisa have been like eyeing me over there the whole time to speak. But I just really feel like over this weekend, or this past weekend, God really spoke to me. And I remember, like, every time I would hear people say like that God spoke to them, I would be like, well, how? And I would never like really think of it that way. But during that Sunday sharing time, it was really emotional, but I felt like God called on me to share about my weekend. And that weekend, I just really got to leave all the stress and anxiety like away, because I was just in the presence of the Lord, and it was amazing. And this being my first winter retreat, I was so excited. Like, you can ask Madeline right here how excited I was, and how I would say every single day leading up to retreat how excited I was. And just, I just really felt like I was in the presence of the Lord. Yeah.
She told us to ask you, how excited was she?
Very.
Okay, very. I think that's often our story, like the story in the Old Testament, where we look for God in the earthquake or the mighty wind, but he speaks in that still small voice. So, yeah.
Well, we got some amazing students. And I am so proud to be associated with these guys. How many of you all feel like you know the armor of God, that scripture well, and you can obey it well? Me too. So, how many of y'all have ever done something that you wish you hadn't done? Show me some hands. Yeah, absolutely. You come back from winter retreat, and you're talking about the armor of God, and the world is full of temptations, and you know, especially after a few days, life can get tough again. And we were talking to our students the other night, and I know they've mentioned what Daniel Barrett had said about Satan doesn't have to destroy you, he's just got to distract you. So I was asking the kids, how are you distracted? And one of them said that, well, he'd been watching a lot of TV, so he thought, man, I need to get off here and read scripture. And he went to Proverbs 13. And said he'd read the whole chapter. Well, the next day, or maybe I guess later that day, he's got a friend at school. And you know how the people around you can influence you. And it's tough being in the world. And you hear lots of things. Well, student let that get to him. And said something that I wish he hadn't said. And we've all been there, right? Every single one of us. But what was so cool is his friend had read Proverbs 13. God led him to that. You know, it was just neat to see how they both were so obedient. Gave him this scripture out of Proverbs, those who guard their lips preserve their lives. And we were talking about that not being coincidence that he was led to that. And we had talked at winter retreat about the armor, and you've got shields that you put up in front of you. But it also matters that the person to your left and the person to your right has that same shield to help guard you. And that's what his friend was doing to him by sharing that scripture. And we've talked often here at church about the story where you've got the four friends carrying their friend on a stretcher to go see Jesus so he could be healed, and they can't get to him. So they go up on the roof and dig a hole and lower their friend down. You never know if you're going to be the guy on the stretcher or you're going to be the one carrying it. I am so proud of these guys because the student who had said something took it the right way. It's like, my brother loves me. He cares about me. And the next time, you know, it may be him that's sharing something. And I just love the way they have listened to what God has for them. And they're amazing.
Yeah. That started with one first hearing the conviction of God, but then following in obedience the conviction of God. To first be in the Word and then be prepared, be equipped with that. And then the next day, hearing that. How many of you guys have heard somebody or seen somebody or your friend do something they shouldn't be doing? Yeah. And how tempted are you to go, I need to go tell them that. It's often a little scary. So for him to step out again in faith and then for to be received humbly in faith, it's a great story for sure. Taylor, I meant to share a little earlier there when I asked him earlier today, I said, man, well, what are you most excited about coming to be baptized today? And he said basically just that, saying he's hoping that him following Christ in obedience and being baptized would encourage you guys to follow Christ in obedience. Whether it's baptism or whether it's just walking or keeping in the Word, that's what he was most excited about this morning. So,
okay, so there are two huge things that I took away from Runner Retreat is
like Bailey said earlier, the devil doesn't have to destroy us. He just has to distract us. And like my brother said, we're fighting from a place of victory, not for victory. And going into winter retreat, I just had like no desire to go. There's just like a lot of stuff at home that happened and a lot of stuff at school. And I was just dreading going. And when my dad dropped me off, I was like, what do I do? I'm like, I know I need to go, but I'm like, I don't want to go. But I went, and I just, like, going into it, I just didn't want to go, and I felt like I had this huge burden on my shoulders. And, that first Friday night with small groups, I was like, small groups. I was kind of like, excited for them, but not excited for them. And I was like, and then I saw who my leaders were, and I was so, blessed by Les, Kennedy, and Nick. And they were just, like, three huge blessings that entire weekend. And then Sunday night with how we share kind of like this, somebody said something and it just like hit me like a ton of bricks what the burden in my life was. And just being able to have that conversation and just like have that burden lifted from my shoulders was huge. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know what that one was, and I don't want to call them out, but it was a cool retreat for me in that my brother, who lives in Costa Rica and is a missionary there, sent his three boys. They flew up from Costa Rica to go on winter retreat, and it was so neat hearing from our youngest student there, which was Micah, my nephew, and I interviewed him afterwards and said, hey, what was your favorite part of a winter retreat? And at 11, I mean, what would you say? Like mine personally was poppy seed chicken. We had poppy seed chicken this year. He said small groups where they sat for an hour in a group of six or seven and talked about scripture. At 11 years old, he's saying, my favorite part was small group and the hard questions that were asked in there. That's really cool to me. Like they went home, the three boys went home and were telling their mom about it. And they said, all we want for Christmas next year is a chance to go back to winter retreat, which is pretty cool, pretty impactful. Anybody else before I start calling names?
I was a leader, but then you really do appreciate how this group of kids, just ministers to you. You know, this world is really hard. It's hard for us, and it is extremely difficult for young men and women. And I think of that verse where it says, don't despise them because of your age, that they face tremendous things. And we took that armor, and we picked apart each of those pieces. And what really stood out to me in this group is, it's not just that they love being together. They accept new people coming in, but it's not just emotional support. Like, they're going somewhere. And, you know, that acceptance, that's the cross. But that going somewhere, that's the resurrection. And we talked about those sandals of the gospel and that sword of truth. And we talked about how you have to know truth. You have to know scriptures in order to battle. We even saw Jesus doing that when he battled. And just to see these kids ministering to each other with scripture. They would write notes. They would quote scriptures when they would share burdens. Like, that was their go-to. And I love the fact that they're on a journey and the newcomers are welcome to join them, but we're becoming more like Jesus, and we're spreading that gospel. And I just think that is really a special place to be. And these kids, like in our small group, Asa led us, and we would talk about a scripture, and then we would try to say, like, okay, so how do you see that playing out in your life? And they were able to give examples in their own spheres and their own influences. And you'd be like, they get it. Like, they are able to apply those truths to the circumstances that they face. And that's what all of us want for each other, let alone our children, especially as they face the world today.
Yeah. knowing and understanding that we can come up with nice words that make people feel good, but the word of God is what actually has power. So putting that word in our hearts and our lives and speaking Christ's words is really fighting with power. Yeah, AJ, go ahead, bud. Can you catch? Okay, good.
I just wanted to say that whenever we were during winter retreat, we were talking about that once you are saved and you, like, God is in your heart, that you enter the spiritual battle no matter, like, what. Like, once you take him into your heart, you go out of the gate into battle to fight for God. And when you put on the whole armor of God, it just makes it easier to fight. It's just like going to somewhere. If you were to get, like, shot by a bullet, you die. But if you had a chest plate on and you got shot by a bullet, your chest plate could deflect the bullet, and that bullet would be like a temptation, and your chest plate would be the chest plate of righteousness. Well,
that was one thing I was trying to work out an illustration on. Thankfully, I couldn't come up with anything for to physically act out that illustration, but yeah. That's absolutely true. What he's saying, it reminds me, how many guys, like, you get done with your work day and you're like, I just can't wait to get home and just be off the clock. Kick my feet up, take my shoes off, like, just be, I want to be down, right? I want to be off guard. And we're never that spiritually. It's a constant battle. It's a constant fight that we're in. We constantly need to be prepared for. And that's what I love about our four fundamentals up here, that we weren't saved into the family to sit on the couch and watch TV, that there's purpose in every moment that we're living for Christ. Can you pass that to Ella?
Well, I really didn't want to share, but I feel like God wanted me to share this. But one thing that really stood out to me was giving God control. And it's something I have a really hard time with. And just God's never going to let you go through something that he's not going to go through with you. And eventually you're going to come out of it. And he's never going to let you go through something that you aren't going to be able to handle. And so Sunday night when we were doing worship, I was just really having a hard time and struggling with something. And I felt really alone. And, like, I couldn't go to anyone and no one really saw me. And so I got up to leave, and I turned around, and Tom stopped me, and he just shared something really encouraging, and it really helped. And I had been praying that God would give me a sign that he did care about me and, like, really did see what I was going through, that I wasn't alone. And so that was, like, that sign. And then I you know, left, and Taylor stopped me and was asking how I was doing. And I was able to share with him what was going on, and he prayed over me. And that was just really encouraging, because it was just like, not God didn't only give me one sign, but two, that he really did care about me, and he put people in my life to help me go through things.
So, yeah. Awesome. Another cool thing that happened like that Sunday night during worship, we just opened up kind of like this for people, for students or leaders to share just what they see God doing. And Les, are you up here somewhere? You over here behind the piano? He came up and just felt like, man, I just want to share this, like, because we get into it. We get into worship there. And he said, like, when you raise your hands, that's just God, you saying to God, like, I surrender to you. Kind of like a child saying, pick me up. Just saying, I surrendered to you. And then just a few minutes later, Gabe, you remember what you shared? Do you want to share it, or do you want me to share it? I figured. Gabe stood up and said, that's really cool, because I was just sitting here wondering what it means for your hands to be raised up like that. And I started asking God, what does that mean? And then Les answered. Like, so Les being the voice for answer of prayer, like you're sharing, Ella, that's really cool to see God work in real time like that. Probably got time for one more. I was hoping it'd be a good one, but Nick. Go ahead. Pass the mic over.
All right, I'm going to stand up so you can see me. That's a short joke, by the way. I have many takeaways from retreat, but I'm just going to give you one of them. For devotion, I don't remember. It might have been Saturday morning. No, it was Sunday morning. We read John 15. That's the whole passage where Jesus says, I am the true vine. But later in that chapter, he tells his disciples, no longer do I call you servants, but I call you friends. And that really, really spoke to me. I've, on my walk with God, I've struggled with how God sees me and how I see God. And it reminds me of this passage in Hosea where God tells Israel, no longer shall you call me master, but you shall call me husband. And that's just, I just see that here. I just see that in this group. They don't see God as this God raised his hand, raised up to strike them. They see God. These people see God as a loving God who wants them to enjoy their relationship with him and delight in each other. And yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. I want to point out too that we got a group of young students here that are sharing about a weekend, and what you hear them sharing is how they saw God and how God spoke to them and how he used scripture in their lives. Because I can think of many stories from this weekend where it was just worldly things that happened. Like we had a skunk under the girls' cabin. And this was the first year we could say by far that the girls' cabin smelt worse than the middle school boys' cabin. But it wasn't completely their fault. So, but just to see the heart that's so connected to God and what he's doing and wants to sing his praises and proclaim his name. So thank you guys for supporting us in prayer through that way. Let me pray for us. And are we responding today? No response today. So I'm just going to cut you guys loose. Father God, we just come to you with just grateful hearts, Lord. All of these stories and testimonies are you. They're of you. God, they're because you've loved us, because you've sent your son to die for us, that you have redeemed us, that you've given us your word, that we can know you and know your heart. God, I just thank you for preparing us, equipping us, Lord, through the prayers of your church, through the servants of your leaders here, of the giving of their time, Lord, their efforts, their energy. But Lord, because you see us, because you care so much about us, God, that you would protect us, you would fight for us, you would give us the victory that you've won that we haven't earned in salvation, in righteousness, in truth, in peace, but most of all through your spirit. And Lord, that we can come to you in prayer and call on your name and hide ourselves in you. Lord, we thank you for the faith that you give us to follow you. Lord, I just thank you for all that you've done and all that you do. Through the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.